Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1. Gospel of Mark in chapter 1. We'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 17 this morning. If you're able to stand, we invite you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. As I read, you follow right along with me. In Mark in chapter 5, verse 1. I'm sorry, did I give you the wrong address? Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 17. All right, let's start reading verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. They come to Jesus, see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow once again before you, again we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your holy word that contains the very mind of a creator God, and what you would have us to understand. And so I pray right now, God, as we have looked at this passage of Scripture, that you would give us the insight into this and the application that we might be able to not only learn, but apply. I ask that you would empower me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. They asked Jesus to leave. Every time I read that, and of course it's found in Matthew's account as well as Luke's account, just can't understand that. Now let's make sure that we understand what the Bible records here. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, went to Gadara. He healed a man who had been possessed with a legion, a whole army is basically what that means, of demons. The people witness this man who had the legion of demons cast out. They witness this man clothed and thinking clearly. And they asked Jesus to leave. Now, as we look here, the main topic of this event, which is recorded in three of the four of the Gospels, the main topic of this event would be the people of Gadara. The Bible clearly reveals that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost in Luke in chapter 19 and verse 10. So he was there for the people of Gadara. As we study this Gadara, the place where Jesus on purpose went, we find that there was an obvious need for Jesus in Gadara. In Luke's account, in Luke in chapter 8, in verse 26 and verse 27, it begins by this, saying this, "And they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, Jesus and the disciples, which is over against Galilee." I love it when you find the Bible recorded more than one place, but it's in three of the Gospels, and each one of the Gospels gives you a little bit more insight into every event that's been recorded. And so we find here that Luke records that it was a place, a settlement, over against Galilee. This was a Jewish settlement. It's important to know that these were Jews that had established this settlement on bordering Galilee. In chapter 8 in Luke in verse 27 it says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." So we find that this was a place where evil was thriving, for there was demon possession. Matthew records more than one, but multiple individuals who had been possessed with demons in this place of Gadara. We understand that Satan thrives where there is no godly influence. And so Satan was thriving in Gadara, in that there was legions of demons that were there, and they had been possessing humanity, they had been possessing people, and the society was somewhat in danger. There was a problem for women and children with these demoniacs. They were evil. Who knew what they would do, how they would impact society? Back in our text in Mark in chapter 5 in verse 3 and 4, the Bible says that who had his dwelling among the tombs, talking about the demoniac, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. For the people of Gadara realized that there was a danger in these demoniacs, and they had tried to rid themselves of these demon-possessed individuals. They had caught this one and bound him, but then the Bible says because that he had been often bound, that means that he was often a problem in society. You couldn't let your children go out. You couldn't let anyone with any fear, I mean, to go out because of the fear of the demoniacs. I mean, this was society. This was the evil that was in society in Gadara. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. They had no power over the demoniacs, those that had been possessed with demons brought about by evil activity and ungodly lifestyles. That was Gadara. Jesus knew what was going on in Gadara. You understand that? He went there on purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And there was a great need in Gadara. He knew what was going on. Jesus went to Gadara to make them aware of two problems. The obvious problem was the demon-possessed individuals. In chapter 5, in verse 2, as soon as Jesus got off the ship, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Satan is aware of Jesus. Now we learn about some things about demons, that they're real. And as you study the Bibles, you can learn from every event things that, if you look to it, you know, it's not, the Bible's not written to demons. It's written to believers. It's written for Christians to understand. And so as we understand this event, it's written there, but it talks about what was taking place with the demoniacs. And we find that this one individual had a legion of demons within him. And these demons were aware of Christ. And so we find here that the obvious problem was the demon possession. And in this we find that, yes, Satan comes, he's aware of Jesus, and Jesus is aware of the devil. Spiritual warfare is real. There was a battle going on, and Satan was becoming more and more in control of Gadara. There's becoming more and more demon possessions in Gadara. And Jesus was there to help them to understand that he could get rid of the demons in Gadara. He could establish a godly society and help them to have the victory over the spiritual warfare that they were battling in Gadara. Now, here in the United States, I don't know that we have as much of a demon possession battle, but there is great spiritual warfare going on in this 21st century in America today. Now, I've been on the mission field, and I've been in some places in jungles and South America and Bolivia, and their demon possession is more common than what we would see it in America because of the absence of spiritual influences. In America, up to now anyway, there has been a presence of spiritual influences. There's been the church, amen, and there's been Christianity, and even our laws and everything else have an influence of Christianity. But where there is no spiritual influences in society, Satan will thrive. Where there's no spiritual presence in the homes, where there's no spiritual influence in individual lives, Satan will thrive. Evil will thrive. Ungodliness will thrive. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. Now, we're just kind of helping you understand the event. It's recorded in three of the four Gospels. There was a need for Jesus in Gadara. There's no doubt about that. He made that evident. They could not take care of it on their own. They could not get rid of the demons on their own. The book of Ephesians in chapter 6, Jesus revealed himself to have the power over the demons. The demons knew that because they knew who Jesus was. Amen. And Jesus knew that because he knows who Satan is. And we find here in Ephesians in chapter 6, as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." As we live our lives being aware of God, how important it is. Don't ever lose sight of our need for awareness of God. Because God is real. But just as much as God is real, the devil is real. Just as there is good in the world, there is evil in the world. As there is light in the world, there is darkness in the world. And because there is good and evil in the world, there is a spiritual battle taking place. And there is a spiritual warfare in your life, in your home, at your work, in your society, in this state, in this nation, in all the world. It's real. It's real. So we find here that Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Be aware of God and the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because you're going to come up against the devil, demons, spiritual warfare. If you don't know about it, you're going to be overpowered. If you're not aware of it, you're going to blame a lot of things on the wrong things. The Bible says we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and we can stand against spiritual warfare. But as we find in this event, we are no match for Satan without Jesus. No match. No matter who you are, no matter how strong you think you might be, you are no match for the devil without Christ. That was an obvious problem. But there was more. The second that Jesus would deal with, which would be not so obvious, but still a great problem, they would be the pigs. Yeah. This was a Jewish settlement underneath Old Testament law. That's all they had at this point. The New Testament scriptures, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament and present New Testament Christianity. They did not have that. They were still under the Word of God from the Old Testament. They were still under the law. And yet, this Jewish settlement were feeding the pigs, which reveals that they were raising the pigs more than likely to sell to the Roman soldiers. And that's how they were being financed in Gadara. Now look at verse 14. Back with me. And that this is what the Bible teaches. That's what this event is telling us. Mark in chapter 5 and verse 14. And they that fed the swine So they were there feeding and raising pigs. They fled, and what did they do? They fled and told it to the city. Our livelihood is being threatened. We just lost 2,000 pigs. They told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Who told them? Those who were taking care of the pigs. What were they concerned about? 2,000 pigs. Now, Old Testament law, let me just remind you, this is something that they would very much have been aware of. In the book of Leviticus in chapter 11, and that's what they had to go by, this was a law that they understood as being Jews and understanding a creator God. God had instructions for them, and their instructions was to separate them as being different from the world so that they could be able to present the truths of God to the world. God chose the nation of Israel to represent him to the world, Old Testament. And so they had to be different to be able to represent God to the world. The world had all the other so-called small letter G gods, and there was only one God. There's only one true God. And so they were instructed by the law to live a certain way so that they could have an impact on the world. And in that, we find in Leviticus in chapter 11, in verse 7 and 8, and the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. That means that the meat was not unclean to others. The Romans loved pork. They loved bacon. Amen? I'm kind of fond of it myself. And I'm so glad that we're not under the Old Testament law. But to the Jews, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. So, justifying raising them for financial purposes to be able to supply finances for the city went out the window when the Bible says you're not to even touch them. They are unclean to you. Now you say, well, it shouldn't have been that big of a deal, really. They knew what the Bible said. And they had showed no regard for God's word. Evil thrives when God's word is rejected. Is God's word being rejected today? Is God's word in the minds of humanity able to be changed? Take out what you don't want, put in what you do want. If we know we have God's word and God has preserved it just the way he wanted it preserved for humanity, especially Christianity, to look to, do you think he wants his word changed? Is it all right just to accept what you want to accept because it goes along with our lifestyle and our own preferences, but we can reject what we don't want because I don't want conviction? Anybody here think that would be fine? They knew God's word said, You're not to have anything to do with raising pigs, touching pigs, eating pigs. It's unclean. For whatever purpose. I believe it was, there's a lot of reasons. We won't go into that, but God had a purpose for what he said. And so when God says it, he means what he says. And he expects for his people to live by it. But they had no regard for God's word. Thus, because they had no regard for God's word, evil was thriving because they had rejected God's word. And Jesus is there to address both issues. Psalms chapter 119, let me just read it to you. Everybody with me this morning, right? Yeah, amen. It's Bible. It's just Bible. In Psalms 119 and verse 9, the Bible says this, "Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way?" That's a question. Answer, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Living by the word of God puts you on a different course than somebody that's not living by the word of God. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Because if I wander from your commandments, then I'm going to start living a life that is opposite your will. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." So if we don't have God's word, what are we going to do? You can't hide it if you don't have it in your heart. You can't live by it because you don't understand it. You don't have it. Then you're going to live in sin. No, I think it's very important that we understand what the Bible says. And no matter what, at whatever cost, live by it. Amen. Accept it. So we find that Jesus addressed both issues. Go back with me to our text in Mark in chapter 5 and verse 11. "Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." Well, Jesus did this so he would have compassion on the devils, right? Can I tell you that Jesus has no compassion for evil? And he is not going to listen to what they have to say. He's never going to do what they ask him to do because of compassion. There's no doubt in my mind, Jesus said, we can get two birds with one stone here. We'll take care of both of the issues at the same time. We'll get rid of the demons and the pigs with them. Is that what we're reading? It's Bible. So forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the whole and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently. They didn't realize what would happen. Jesus knew exactly what they would do because he's omniscient. Devils are not. And they ran violently down a steep place into the sea. Now, again, we learned more about demons even there. Jesus is omniscient. Demons are not. They don't know how you're going to respond unless they have evidence of how you respond before. They have history. They know exactly what has worked in your life before. And that's a sin that so easily besets us. And that they will continue to try to get us the very same way that they had victory in our past. Yeah, we see that. And they run down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Got rid of both of them. the demons, and the pigs. So, Jesus knew what was going on in Gadara. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows what's going on in the United States. He knows exactly what's taking place all over the world. He went to Gadara because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was for the people of Gadara. God has compassion for humanity. God loves humanity. Jesus died for humanity, and we all fall into that category. He made them aware. Now, the people would need to make a decision. Jesus, who can get rid of the demons, who can establish a Christian society where there is love and kindness. But you would have to get rid of the pigs, because that's God's word. Verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Obvious. The people come out. This is what you can have with Christ. He's in his right mind, clothed. But at the same time, the pigs have to go. You get to choose. You want the pigs? Or do you want Christ? And I'm thinking, and I'm hopefully you're saying, how could you not choose Christ? And they chose the pigs. And they asked Christ to leave. And when you choose the pigs, whether you understand it or not, you're asking Jesus to leave. I fear they feared losing the pigs more than they feared losing Christ. A pig, as we study this event, is whatever is keeping a person from fellowshipping with God. And I ask the question, do you have a pig that is worth more than Christ? I've had people tell me, I can't come to church, I can't serve God, because I can't give up my alcohol. At least they knew that they couldn't have one without the other. They knew that they couldn't have the alcohol and have fellowship with God, because God was against the alcohol. It would be against the word of God. and they've chosen the alcohol. There's those that fear living without drugs, but they know they can't have Christ and drugs. And I've seen them turn and want what Jesus had to offer, but then at some point, go back to the pigs. And when they go back to the drugs, they're telling Jesus to leave. Because I choose my drugs over you. Whatever is keeping a person from fellowshipping with God, the pig. The love of money is a pig. You can't love money. You can't serve God and mammon. Immorality, pornography is a pig. And yet people will choose that over Christ? Worldliness is a pig. Choose that over Christ. An unforgiving spirit. When you know that you need to forgive and you know you need to love and yet you refuse, listen to me, it is against the will of God. It's against the word of God. And you can't have an unforgiving spirit and have the presence of God at the same time. But you get to choose. God will not force himself. He will not allow Satan to force you to do anything. Only tempt. And you choose. We choose. The world chooses. Our nation chooses. They didn't want the demons. They feared losing the pigs more than having the demons, and they chose the pigs. Can I tell you this? After Jesus departed, guaranteed, mark it down, many more demons came into Gadara. Because Jesus was the only thing keeping the demons out. So the application, be willing to give up the pigs and choose Christ. If I could ever have every head bowed this morning. That is the event. Recorded, the very same truth recorded in three of the Gospels. What's your choice? What will you choose for your life? Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the word, the precious word that you've preserved for us. And for what you have chosen, the foolishness of preaching, to help people to understand, to listen, and to make an application. I pray, God, right now in this invitation, that you'd help each and every one of us to make the decisions that you want us to make and choose Christ. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.